It's Tuesday, March 13th, and the NCAA tournament kicks off tonight with a couple of play-in games. We'll give our expert analysis, who we like, who we don't like, etc. The Packers made a move on Friday, trading Demaryius Randle. We'll take a look into the Packers' crystal ball, see what's next for the organization. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 276.
Mitch on the ones and twos.
Let's go, baby.
Charlie here with you. Excited podcast, good podcast, loaded show.
Lost an hour of sleep, but it's all worth it. It means
so
we're moving forward.
So I was going to ask you about that. You are noted curmudgeon. How everyone else on Twitter was bitching about the loss of sleep.
Were you in the same boat? To get up this morning. It was.
I felt like a lot of people in the office who have kids were definitely upset. Like, because their kids got up an hour earlier than usual,
right,
and they were just hot.
Yep, I believe it. I saw a tweet from, I think, Cliff Saunders, who used to work at WSSP.
Yeah.
And he was saying, that sucks for us doing morning radio.
Oh, yeah. You know? Absolutely.
And obviously, that's one of those where it's like the average listener probably was just like, oh, you two get to talk about sports for a living. But it's right. I mean, it's true, though. He probably gets in it, you know, probably gets up at 4 a.m.
Right. Absolutely. So that is where we lead off the loaded podcast.
And it takes you like a week to get that hour back.
Oh, I agree. So it helps. It also doesn't help that you're probably going to just be filling your body with toxins and just awful food for 4 straight days watching tournament basketball.
That's true.
So we are going to talk a lot about the tournament. Be kind of the meat of our show, the roast beef and the bread is the NFL free agency. So we're building a big old sandwich.
Yeah.
And we'll start with talking about the Packers and then talk about the NFL at the end, just overall. Before we get there, though, we've pumped it out a little bit the last couple of days. SnowTap Madness. It's on Yahoo. Sign up. We get a $100 bar tab to the first SnowTap party. That will hopefully more details to come soon on that. But so you just gotta trust the process here and know that if you win, that we are basically throwing a party in your honor. And apparently we have phones going off
Know what's going on here. I have it on silence, but apparently when it's open, it still rings.
Oh, that's lovely.
So stay off of it.
Whatever. But anyways, yes, we're giving that away. Sign up. Also, follow us all over, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Mitch Ross, MKE on Twitter.
Yes,
subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play. So let's get into it. Let's talk a little Packer free agency. Maybe we'd fill out a Packer free agency bracket. That's a good way. It's a good way to get the listens up. You say Packer free agency bracket. Psych. It's not an actual bracket, you clowns.
There's this guy I know. He used to work at in the building with me
at
the radio station here, and he does this Man Crush Madness every year.
Oh, yeah?
Where he does like a bracket of like 16 guys.
Yeah.
And just has like people vote on him. It's kind of funny.
So. I saw a guy. I spent way too much time doing a Kanye bracket yesterday.
Like Kanye songs?
Kanye Madness. And it was on Twitter. I forget the guy. C. Harrington, I think his name was. I tweeted it out yesterday. It was great. And I definitely spent way too much time on Sunday afternoon watching Tiger Woods.
So point being is you can make a bracket out of everything.
Absolutely. And you can make a bracket out of who made the Packers acquire. So late Friday night, worst possible time ever for me because my girlfriend has just arrived. We're going out to dinner that night, and Demaryius Randle gets traded, and she's like, pay attention to me.
He broke at like 5.
Yeah, and I'm just like in my phone, like,
o'clock.
What's going on here? And we talked a little bit about it on Daily Tap, and I guess what was your sort of reaction initially about Demaryius getting
dealt? I mean, I was surprised a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's hard not to.
He came into his own a little bit, as they say, down the stretch there after all the histrionics and all that with him. I don't know if him and McCarthy worked it out or something.
I don't think so.
Clearly not. But I meant, you know, last year that he led the team in interceptions?
He did, yeah.
It was all like late in the year.
Right. And then
he was making plays.
As I pointed out, go back and listen to it, but Ben Fennell, who's a Packer fan, but he also does a bunch of work for ESPN and the Philadelphia Eagles, pointed out through tape that how bad Demaryius Randle is, you know, in terms of giving up big plays and just is out of position. And yeah, it's great to move him to safety, which is what the Browns are going to do,
yep,
but he just doesn't hit. He doesn't hit like a safety.
He is scared.
And he's scared. And Fennell pointed that out too. And so there's a lot of underlying problems. So we'll see who's right about it. Obviously, Demaryius, being the shithead that he is, was chirping about it on Twitter
and on
Instagram. He's obviously has an axe to grind against the Green Bay Packers and joins this sort of weird brotherhood of Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde. And as people pointed out, Micah Hyde was out of position with the Packers. And who knows, maybe Demaryius Randall was out of position as well. Time will tell. But on to bigger and brighter things. The Packers were in the rumors of a few free agents today, number one being Jimmy Graham. And I think Jimmy Graham is the most credible of the ones we're going to talk about here, because basically a Seahawks beat writer was like, it's basically down to the Saints or the Packers. And so, first take on how do you feel about Jimmy Graham? Obviously a big name. Obviously someone the Pinhead Nation, as we talk about, will come themselves over.
Yeah,
but
he's.
Where do you stand on that?
I mean, he's 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
His better days are probably behind him.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean he can't be productive with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I think he's still kind of in the back end of his prime.
Yep.
He had a good year last year.
Yep.
So I know he had one, like that first year in Seattle wasn't pretty for him.
No, because I think he was still coming back from injury.
Yeah, and I mean, Seattle was kind of a different type of team, I think, at that point as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Jimmy Graham still could be productive. Now, with price tag pending, obviously.
Right.
I mean, what do you think kind of deal he's going to get?
I think he's probably looking at about a 3-year deal. I don't know, money wise. Sport Rack would
What does a tight end get? Maybe 25?
If you want to, you could probably peek over at Sport Rack. Sportrac. Bad radio here telling you to do that, but yeah, that's probably where you get your best look at it. I think 3 years, 25, 3 years, 3 years, 30. I mean, Richard Sherman got 3 years, 39. I thought that was a little high for what was projected out to be. Now Graham himself, I think where he would really excel with the Packers is red zone targets, right?
Yeah.
He was leading the league basically in red zone. Jimmy Graham, I bet, would be around 3 years, 20, 3 years, $8 million per.
Yes. Sportrack has it at 3 years for 20.1.
Okay.
Average annual salary of 6.7.
I could get down with that. And I think with how good he is in the red zone, that was really where the Seahawks used him. He wasn't necessarily the guy who was spreading the field, more so a red zone target. And I think Aaron Rodgers could definitely use a guy that he could go to around the end zone at all times and use his size. Rodgers just hasn't had that. And maybe McCarthy knows to not use, these tight ends. Like Martellus Bennett, I think, wasn't used in the way that he probably should have, or Marty didn't want to try, whether that's
well, I was
going
to say, this is what Spotrac has him to as compared to Martellus Bennett.
Because
Martellus Bennett signed a 3 for $20 million, and this is all straight financial. And
right, yeah.
This is not personality and all that. So 3 for $21 million when he was 30 when he signed that one. I assume that was, with the Bears?
Yep.
So.
Oh, no, that was, I think, with the Packers. Packers did a 3-year, $20 million deal with him. They just got out of it. And I believe the one thing it's kind of interesting so far, an interesting early headline, is the fact that the Packers and Saints seem to be going after the same guys. You know, the Saints had Muhammad Wilkerson the other day. So it seems like the teams are sort of, they're looking at similar players.
Well, and it's crazy to see the Packers in on, like, everybody that's coming out,
Right, and so they're in on...
It's uncharted waters.
They're in on Allen Robinson as well, and Allen Robinson had an ACL tear last year. And he's a stud receiver. He's a guy who would make shit happen with just the piss poor talent of Jacksonville quarterbacks, Blake Bortles and other guys beforehand. So Allen Robinson had no problem catching balls from bad quarterbacks, and now he gets Aaron Rodgers, and that would be phenomenal. Sammy Watkins too. Sammy Watkins only is 24 years old. That's crazy that Sammy Watkins still has a ton of years left.
And he was stuck in Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor.
And I think he just didn't fit with the Rams either, because I feel like Robert Woods, it was so much part of that offense, and they didn't necessarily find what the big plays were with Sammy Watkins. And Sammy Watkins seems like a home run hit. And Jared Goff just couldn't make those happen, and they would try him, but I don't think Jared Goff was a home run hitter that a guy like Aaron Rodgers could be.
And Watkins seems like that guy that was like
such a stud coming out of college and just really hasn't necessarily been great.
Right.
And he's maybe just waiting for, like, I guess that right opportunity.
That second team. I mean, we talk about in the NBA more than we do in the NFL, but yeah. Those guys who it takes year team three, team four to them for really to shine through. And then you're like, where the hell was this, you know, 2 or 3 years ago? I see it all the time, especially in the NBA. So I think what the Packers are doing, and I'll then preface this with a secondary question, but I think what the Packers are doing, and disagree with me if I'm wrong, the Packers actually, I think, want to keep everybody. I think they want to keep Jordy Nelson. I want to keep Randall Cobb. But as Gary Ellerson pointed out on 105.7 The Fan, something has to change with what they have right now. Because
you just can't afford everybody.
You're going to go out and get all these people, you just can't afford it. So to move Jordy and Randall are your slot receivers, so you're going to go with more of a 4-wide, 5-wide set, and then you have a guy like Allen Robinson or Sammy Watkins on the outside with Devontae Adams, because Jordy Nelson can no longer run these deep routes, and a guy like Sammy Watkins could run those Jordy Nelson-like routes. And it could just end up being like, okay, screw you all. We're going to go big and go home and go back to that 2011 style of offense where we had a dominating tight end and then a ton of receivers that are high quality guys. I mean, when you had Cobb, was Cobb on that 2011 team? I don't think so. Nah.
I'll have to look that up. Must not have been.
No.
He would have been like a rookie.
No, he wouldn't have been. It was Driver. It was James Jones. It was
Greg Jennings,
Jordy Nelson. Okay, so those were the four. That was the big four, essentially. So, yeah, no Randall Cobb on that. But that was that big four right there, and I think the Packers might want to get back to that sort of big four mentality. And then you add that they'd have much more of a running game than they did in 2011 when this offense was the best. And it's no coincidence that Joe Philbin's back with this organization. So, you know, maybe Philbin said, look, why don't we go back to what we were trying to do here? We just need the receiving talent. The Geronimo Allisons and Trevor Davises of the world are not going to make it happen. Just get as much talent as possible for Aaron Rodgers. That's all right. Go with it. And so they haven't been rumored with any defensive guys. Who knows? Maybe that comes in tomorrow. And I guess here's my secondary question that's kind of the opposite of what I just asked. How much of this is agents saying, well, the Packers are interested because they are a prominent team, they're a team who's wanting to contend for a Super Bowl? Are they just doing it to drive the price up? And is this all smoke? Are Packer fans going to be disappointed if three out of these four, or two out of these three aren't Packers?
Probably. There's no doubt in my mind they will be disappointed.
Right. That's the Packer way, essentially. Right.
That's the Packer, you know, Packer fan base way.
The pinheads that are putting fucking Jimmy Graham billboards up on 894, which if I find a picture of it, I'll blog it and guarantee you I will clown the living shit out of it, because come on.
Yeah. They are going to be disappointed. I don't know if it's all smoke, though. I think that Gutekunst has made several comments that we're going to explore all options, and I think he's probably maybe doing some of it to appease the fans at this point.
Yeah.
But I think until they sign someone, I don't know if you can really buy it.
Right. And I think
he's going to be more than Ted Thompson.
I think it's a big time for the shitter get off the pot with the whole Jordy Nelson thing, with the Randall Cobb thing, and maybe even Clay Matthews,
you have to
for
think
that,
that,
that matter.
At least of those names you just mentioned, you have to think that one of those guys at least will restructure.
Yeah, they have to. There's no other way that this can get done. And if these guys want to stay on and stay on board, they're going to do it. I think we've talked about it ad nauseum at this point, right? But I think it's going to happen. I really do. I don't really see these guys wanting to leave Green Bay. I know that's pinhead in its own right, but why would these guys really want to leave Aaron Rodgers unless they feel like there are other opportunities where they can go ball out, which I'd understand. I'm not going to hate on a guy for saying, I don't want to be here because you're saying you're going to pay me less money than what I think my market value is. I'm not going to hate on that. Mm-hmm. And I also think, you know, to the people who think Clay Matthews should like fully restructure his deal are the biggest fucking idiots on this planet. Because I think a lot of times Clay Matthews was our best defensive player. He just didn't have the stats to back it up. He's a classic.
You're not going to get 18 sacks every
year. Right, exactly. And so you have to
And is he older than he was in 2010? Yeah.
You have to reshape how you view Clay Matthews. And unfortunately, for a lot of Packer fans, that's hard for them to do, especially in the casual sense, because they just can't get it through their head. So we'll see if the Packers
They don't understand that football is a demanding game, and
the shelf life
is just not there.
Well, they also don't understand that you can do things without actually sacking the quarterback and actually making
stuff that
tackles.
Doesn't show up in the box score.
I know,
as they say.
And it's so cliche, but it's like it's why the All 22 thing is so important. And I don't think you have to watch it. I just think you have to have an understanding.
It's like Tony Snell. I mean, the dude's more liable to get a goose egg in pretty much every category on the stat sheet, but at the end of the day, I think he plays well and fits well with the team, and he doesn't try to shoot too much. And you know, people you see the zeros across the board, and it blows your mind because you're paying this guy $11 million a year.
Okay.
And not to get too bucksy with it, but I mean, we do need to get out of that contract probably at some point.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, so my point is, you know, a guy can affect a game and have a positive impact without necessarily getting sacks or getting hurries or.
Yeah,
you know, well, hurries would be fine.
Yeah, and we'll see where they're rumored for the secondary. I feel like those rumors might come today. Might start hearing: are they in on Malcolm Butler? Are they in on Trumaine Johnson? Are Aaron Colvin's another guy for? It's been mentioned. I think the more and more the Packers, to put a bow on the Packer talk, the more and more they looked at what was available at 14 or what they think is going to be available at 14 and building their draft boards. I think that's when they made Demarius Randle expandable, because they said, we think we can sign a guy, and then we think we can sign. Yeah. We can either draft Derwin James, Denzel Ward, or Josh Jackson. And I think any three are a good start. And I think they come from more prominent universities. And I know that shouldn't matter, but I do think there is a little bit of getting a guy from Arizona State's a little different than getting a guy from either Ohio State, Iowa, or Florida State.
Yeah.
And Derwin.
So you think they've locked themselves into taking a corner in the first round?
Well, we'll see. We have a long way to go, Mitchie.
Well, it's what, like 6 weeks?
6 weeks, and some free agency signings happen. Daily Tap's a must this week, folks. This is going to be Daily Tap season, because keep you updated every day on what's happening with the Packer free agency. I'm sure Mitch and I will put a wrap on it next week. A lot, I'm sure, will change by the next time
There's a lot that happened around the league, too.
Him and I are talking about, right. And
we'll get to that.
We'll get to that in a little bit here. Now we'll go to the NCAA tournament. The selection show happened. Real quick, I gave my take about how much I hated the selection show. Did you also hate the selection show?
I thought it was just kind of a joke.
It was.
You know, like, you're seeing now, it's almost the fault of the consumer, right? Because it's like there's so many people watch it.
Yeah.
That the cost to air these games is just ridiculous.
Right.
So now you got to sell ads at whatever possible way. Yep. And that was probably a better way for them to do it.
Right. Absolutely.
And it sucked. But
oh yeah. It was not good. I mean, it was.
Well, the audio was off.
Yeah, the audio being off was pretty damn bad. I mean,
this is like the pinnacle of college basketball.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something.
It's like you have one job.
It's something that people look forward to, and like you don't want to put one shining moment on there. Fine. You don't want to put the Final Four on CBS. Okay, but don't screw with the selection show that I think everybody loves. I mean. It was on while I was just on the treadmill. I was watching the women's selection show just because it was on, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they were just running through the bracket. That's all they were doing. They were just going down the bracket and then talking about the bracket as is.
Yep.
So, you know, don't fix what's not broken, right?
Yeah, right.
You can draw it out. You can say, okay,
I'm surprised they didn't drag it out. I thought I thought it was going to be like the Heisman the first half hour they're just doing – you know, talk, you know, and then
I just
studio,
feel like,
Seth Davis, whoever.
I just feel like whoever produced it probably got fired today and probably was like, or like, hey, what we should have done is we should have looked at it and said, okay, here are all the 16 seeds. Here are all the 15 seeds here. And
count
and work your way.
Yeah.
And work up and say.
You can change it if you have to, but you could have done a better job.
Totally.
Changing it.
Absolutely.
I like that idea, actually, where you just go. These are your 16s, and you show all the little schools on TV, and everybody can cheer and feel good.
Like,
and then
they're in the playing game, and then you go, oh, Alabama got in, they're a bubble team, and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's
and said they went, they revealed every team in alphabetical order.
Yeah, and that was, and then you had to do your math, and you were like, or you're like, and then once I saw Miami, I was like, okay, Marquette's not in, and I'm like, all right, cool, fine, whatever.
Remember, these are in alphabetical order.
Yeah, and they kept having to say it, and I was like, I was like, okay, and then they're like, and then I saw on Twitter that Louisville's out too, and I'm like, oh, you're right, Louisville's out, and it was just, it was a mess. So to move forward, how Mitch and I are going to do this. We are going to look at basically who we love, who we hate, who's a sleeper. And when we say sleeper, we don't necessarily mean Cinderella. I think we've abused the term Cinderella.
Yeah.
It can literally be any team that's a 9 or lower that we just kind of think, hey, they could make it to the second weekend. We wouldn't be surprised. And then who we're picking from the region.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start in the South. Who do you love in the South? That is the Virginia region for those who are following along.
I'm going to go Arizona pretty deep.
All right, buddy. Let's have this Arizona talk because I am as well. And maybe it's because I'm a prisoner of the moment. And I watched me and you both.
We sat there and watched that.
So we sat there and watched DeAndre Ayton, and I think both of us were at midnight there. And like,
how do you stop the guy?
Exactly. And I feel like Arizona, I know, and I've done this every year I do this, and I tell myself every year to not take Arizona that far. And they're not that efficient on defense. They don't play that great of defense. Pac-12 was a weak conference in general this year. But
USC was second. They didn't even, they only get one tournament team.
They got two with Arizona, or three, but two of them are in playing games.
UCLA and Arizona State are
USC thing is an FBI thing because they were one of the prominent teams named in the FBI thing, as well as Arizona. And conveniently, those team and Louisville was knocked out, USC was knocked out, and Arizona got probably lower than they should.
Right.
And they have a meeting with Kentucky in the second round.
I was going to say, a 4 seed for Arizona. Weren't they like 26-8 or 26-7.
Yeah, and they had a decent year, and I think it's a culmination of everything. Can Sean Miller actually coach? I do like the idea of Arizona being sort of this us against the world sort of thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
I kind of like it too. I like where your head's at.
Or they could lose in the first round.
Right, exactly. Or lose to Kentucky. Jones said on Paul Feinbaum today.
I think I'm going Davidson there, actually.
There's a lot of Davidson love. So is Davidson your sleeper?
I don't have him going past the first or the second round.
All right,
because they play Arizona.
So yeah, that's right. So I guess my love is also Arizona. The team I hate, if you've been following along on Daily Tap or in the blog or whenever I mention it, it's fucking Virginia.
Yeah.
We can't have Virginia go to the Final Four. We just can't do that to the casual fan base.
I was going to say, they're kind of like the de facto Wisconsin team because of Tony Bennett.
Yes.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that.
And here's another reason why we can't have Virginia. Because
Chuck's talking himself into Creighton beating them.
No. But why? No, they'll get to the Sweet 16. But we can't have Virginia there because the farther they go, the louder the Tony Bennett to the Bucks rumors get. And I will literally lose my shit the whole time because you cannot tell me Tony Bennett's an NBA coach. I saw Evan Cohen bring that weak shit in here. And like, come on, Evan. Like, I know you're a Producer Murph's boy, but like, come on, dude. Like, you can't do that to me. Like, there's no way. Because I think it was a quote tweet of like Jay Wright and Tony Bennett deserve serious NBA consideration. And I'm like, Tony Bennett would deserve NBA consideration in 2003 when the Pistons were winning games 83-76.
Yeah.
But in today's NBA, not a shot. There's no way that pack line defense would work in the NBA.
Yeah. And he's not really one of those like militant guys in college, but yeah, I just don't think. Like Frank Martin would never work in the NBA.
Right, but he has a Brad Stevens-like personality, I think. I think he has the personality.
He's got the NBA personality, but sure. I just don't think that his system, I'll probably agree with you that, you know, his system in the NBA would not be good.
So
who do you have? You have anybody coming deep that's a low seed in the South?
So sleeper I would put as Loyola Chicago. So
okay, you're taking them.
Loyola plays great defense. They have they also can shoot the living shit out of the ball. And I like the story. It's the first time they've been in there, I think, since the 80s, maybe the 60s. I don't know. It's been a while. And you those teams always seem to play a little bit more. Miami does have a big front court, but they don't have anything special. We all know Rick Barnes and Tennessee pissed down their leg. And it's not necessarily Tennessee's fault. It's Rick Barnes, who hasn't made it to a Sweet 16 in 6 NCAA tournament appearances spanning his Texas. He just pisses his leg every year in March. It's kind of a time-honored tradition.
Tennessee has a decent team.
They do. They play really good defense, but I could see Loyola coming out of that.
I took Miami in that game, first round, just for Danny Boy Canes.
Okay.
That's automatic.
The bear attack, right? You know, it was, you got to pay respects to Danny Boy. Right. Who's your kind of team you hate, and who's your sleeper in that South region?
Team I hate in the South?
And it could be for any reason. You don't have to. Well, it just can't be. It could be just a pure.
I mean, I took Davidson to beat Kentucky, so I'll go Kentucky, team I hate. Just because I'll do the Dickie V's fuck this chicken all year where he just says, have you watched a game where Dickie V called it against Kentucky?
Unfortunately, all he says, unfortunately not.
Literally, probably every 5 minutes, he just goes, these kids aren't ready. There's maybe one of these guys is ready for the NBA. The rest of them, if they go, they're going to be in the G League.
I'm really sick of Dickie V.
So, like,
I really think Dickie V needs to just fucking retire.
He needs to out the pasture.
Just be in Tampa, do your periscopes, man, and just hang out. Have the Schwab film your periscopes, and that's about it.
And sleeper wise, if Texas can be a sleeper, I'll give them some love.
Absolutely.
Because they've played some tough teams this year. They are battle tested. We'll bust that out for the first time.
And they get Cincinnati in that second round.
Yeah, I mean, do you like Cincinnati? I got Cincy in the in the Final Four.
Wow. So Cincinnati plays really good defense.
And the American Conference is pretty good.
Yes, I would agree with that. I don't hate that. I do think that whole Texas Cincinnati round two, Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba's healthy. Mo Bamba's a stud.
He's that's obviously, you know, sometimes teams. That, you know, that second round can be tough.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Because you get for your ones and your twos and your threes, because you get that cupcake first game, and then you all of a sudden, whoa, we got a team that's, you know, competent here that we can't just rely on our talent.
So Cincinnati's our first Mitch Mush watch. If you remember, Mitch is kind of a classic mush when it comes to the NCAA tournament.
You son of a bitch. That's my token two seed right here, isn't it? That loses in the first round. Happens every year.
Ron Hunter, Georgia State.
Yep. I had it goes back to Florida Gulf Coast.
Oh, yeah.
And I had Georgetown winning it all, and they lost, like,
back to Missouri.
Or Missouri, correct.
Missouri and Norfolk State. Yep. Kyle O'Quinn.
You bet. It goes to that. And then it was Florida Gulf Coast the year after. So every year I have a two
Michigan
seed.
State against Middle Tennessee State.
Yep.
The next Mitch, like, you guys have no idea how, like, this is a pure thing
it
that
is.
Mitch has somewhat
and
found
now
his way.
And now I'm woke.
And now
I'm gonna sweat this out.
Yes.
For tonight.
The Mitch Mush.
I just inexplicably take a two seed to the Final Four and they lose every year in the first round.
Coming out of this region for me, I'm gonna take Arizona and I'm gonna live to regret it after they lose to Kentucky on Saturday.
I got Cincinnati and I'll live to regret it when I change it. Or yep. Virginia beats Arizona and then beats Cincinnati and we all drink cyanide.
All right.
So we got West.
Moving to the West region, that's the Xavier region. Who is the team that you are in love with?
I got Michigan and Gonzaga.
Okay.
Coming all the way to the Elite Eight.
All right. That makes sense. So do you have more love for the Wolverines or more love for the Zags?
I do have Gonzaga in the Final Four as of right now. Michigan, I like, though. I might change that.
I think Michigan. So I think what the thing with Michigan that's different, and you could put some parallels.
Their defense is good.
Well, you're right. And they were never a good defensive team. John Boeheim hired a guy outside of his sort of cocoon, brought in a defensive specialist, and they're a top 10 KenPom defense.
Well, he pulled Jason Kidd.
Right, a little bit. But that's something I hope Marquette does, because they have similar problems that Michigan has, where they just played no defense. And so, if you know, have that ability would be great. And so I do think Michigan is definitely – there's some people who have some Montana love. I'm not saying that that's accurate. I love Mo Wagner. I don't know if Mo Wagner is an NBA player. I kind of think he's a douchebag, but I kind of dig it. Like, he's just a German tool.
It's your kind of guy.
Oh, I love that.
How far do you have Xavier?
Okay, so –
because they are – a little sketchy. I mean, they're worth the one seed, but they are a little.
So
they
that
make me nervous.
I feel like Xavier doesn't play enough defense. I think there's the whole Michael Porter angle in the second round, and then uh-oh. There's the Ohio State Xavier matchup that I think the NCAA would like to have potentially.
I picked South Dakota State there as well.
Oh, interesting.
So I think I have 2 5-12s.
See, I like Ohio State. I would say my team I love.
Yeah, they're real gritty under the radar all year.
The team I love in that region is probably Michigan. But to be different, I would probably say Ohio State's way up there. And just because I think Chris Holtmann does a really good job, I think Kata Bates-Diop is a hell of a player, very underrated in the grand scheme.
That dude's been around forever.
Dokic's kid is sneaky, like a pretty damn good defender, which is
shocking.
Save your opinions for Dan Dokic. But but yes, the one team that I won't say I hate, and I'll mention the hate right now, but the one team that I think is getting way too much love is Providence. And I like Providence, don't get me wrong, but Providence played 3 straight overtime games last week. And Ed Cooley's a great dude, and I think everybody's going to pencil in Providence to beat Texas A&M. And I think you have to consider what happened to them last week. I think they were run ragged, and I don't really like Texas A&M, but it would not surprise me in the slightest.
Remember all those takes
to see Texas A&M
in the old Big East, all those takes saying, "Well, they just they just beat up on each other all year, and all the teams are worn out,
right.
So they get 7 teams in, and then 5 of them lose in the first weekend."
Yeah,
that's kind of similar to that. I do have Providence.
Yeah,
that's kind of a coin flip.
I think the hate, and I don't really have a team I hate in this region where I look through it and I'm like, oh, I just don't like them.
I mean,
I don't see, like, I like Xavier, I like North Carolina. This is
chalky bracket.
It's chalky, but it's not like there isn't a team in here where you're like, oh God, I don't like watching them play, or I don't really. There's no real. I guess. Just for like overall, like I was a kid a North Carolina fan, but I'll put North Carolina in that hate bucket only because, like, let's have some variance. This would be the 3rd straight year North Carolina go to the Final Four if they could make it that far. Let's kind of have something different, a little new blood. I have no problem with that. Some people think Lipscomb could be like an actual Cinderella because they play a pretty decent style, and that's like a way far out there. But in terms of my sleeper out of that region.
But you pick that, you win the bracket.
Oh, well, maybe. But my sleeper out of that region, I think San Diego State. Mm-hmm. Aztecs play a lot of defense. Malik Pope's a very good player. He's been around. Another guy who's been around for a while. I think they are right there. And I'll tell you right now, if Missouri was 9, I'd say Missouri just for that Michael Porter angle. And another week of practice and gets to showcase. I think it's really cool that he didn't sit out the whole season. I respect that. And I think it's more so because he knows he's not going to be a top 5 pick unless he kind of goes off in this tournament.
This is his little LeVar Ball-esque like showcase. Where
absolutely,
you get,
it is because
you get probably one game.
Well,
he could be.
He might have to because, like, here's the thing: you look at it right now, and to go not to divulge, but Ayton, Bagley, Luka Doncic,
Doncic.
Those are top 3 picks by far. And then whatever, crapshoot on the top. But a guy like Michael Porter could make a name for himself and put himself back in that conversation.
Yeah.
So do you have anyone that you hate from that region, or are you kind of in that same boat with me?
I guess I'll go with an Ohio State. I think I'll go
the Dockage angle.
Like I said, against them. Well, I just think that, they kind of have been overachieving all year, and this is probably it.
Right. I could see that. I could totally see that.
And sleeper wise, I don't know, maybe, Mizzou, as you alluded to there.
I'll give you Mizzou.
They're
so
tempting.
Mizzou violates our rules, but Mizzou going to the Sweet 16 would be sleeper.
Just because
ash.
If you're going to get, if you're going to get your stud back.
Yep.
You never know.
Absolutely. So moving to the Midwest, where it's kind of – that would be the Legion of Doom here with Kansas, Michigan State, and Duke all in there. I have to love the Dukies. I hate to say it, but Duke is really, really good this year. Duke has put it together. The Grayson Allen, Marvin Bagley combo, all the Duke freshmen. I think Duke is very strong this year. They are top. They're top offense and defense according to KenPom. There's no reason Duke can't win the championship.
I have Michigan State coming out of this one.
Okay, and there's nothing. And I could the Jaren Jackson.
The only thing that scares me about Michigan State is that they've only played like 2 tournament teams or so. They've only beat 2 tournament teams.
Big
Ten's
been really bad this year, and we'll see how that affects them. We'll see how the long layoff affects them. Michigan State does get kind of a cakewalk in. TCU, Arizona State, or Syracuse.
I do have them playing Arizona State, Syracuse in the second round.
But I still think that's a cakewalk in. And the X factor for Michigan State, especially against a team like Duke, is Jaren Jackson inside. Jaren Jackson's going to be a top ten pick. His offense isn't there yet, but the guy is a hell of a defender. And
who's my buddy, Kyle Ward or whatever? Nick Ward. Looks like he's about 40.
Nick has the Draymond Green look, kind of overweight. Definitely he's just
chunky,
sipping,
like 6'8".
Sipping High Lifes on his off time, no question about it. Nick Ward enjoys that Midwest living.
Playing a lot of Fortnite.
No doubt about it. So I think.
How far do you have Auburn?
So great question. I don't know what to think of Auburn because they look so bad. College of Charleston has some sleeper potential. I have a deep, deep sleeper coming up here, but I'm going to save that and move into the team I hate, which is Oklahoma. And it's not because I hate Trae Young. I'm not doing it. Remember, there were some podcasts here where I said some things about Trae Young that I probably regret.
Should dig those up.
Yeah, you should. But I just think the only reason Oklahoma's in is because people want to watch Trae Young play. And then the only reason he's seated where he is so the possibility we get a Trae Young versus Duke game on Saturday.
100% why Oklahoma got in.
And Andy Glockner, who used to write college basketball, I think he does marketing now, pointed out hey, the NCAA should just be transparent and be like, we wanted Trae Young in the tournament. It's good for ratings.
Yep.
Trae Young's playing in the first overall game to lead off. It's all a ruse, man.
And guess what? They're going to get beat by Rhode Island.
So, man, I watched Rhode Island twice this weekend because they had some bubble implications with Marquette. They do not. Dan Hurley is not a good in-game coach. He has a lot of guys who just sort of YOLO it, and there is not a lot of structure. I think it'll be I don't know.
Yahoo user picks has it almost 50-50.
I'm sure it is. It could swing a lot of brackets because I think some people will get into the Trae Young hype plus the Duke hate and say, we're going to take Oklahoma to the Sweet 16, which if you do, please enter Snow Tap Madness so we can eliminate you because that is a reckless move of all reckless moves. Do you have a team you hate in there? There's
Clemson
a lot of
a little bit.
I
got them losing to Auburn.
And Clemson is a classic. Who the fuck is this guy? I think New Mexico State could beat them. New Mexico State plays great defense. They are a sleeper.
Plus, that's one too where, if you want to consider geography in a 5-12 matchup, New Mexico State is at the game's in San Diego.
Right.
New Mexico State is significantly closer than Clemson is.
And it's a 9:57 tip.
One of the late ones,
It's 8:57 our time. It's 6:57 there. But, all the Clemson clocks pushed ahead. So it's there. So here's my sleeper. Are you ready for it? And it's not that I think they're going to win, but it's Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is one of the better 16 seeds that we've had in quite some time.
Do you think Penn can be the first 16 team?
I'm not saying they can. No. But if you're talking about a moment where Twitter would go crazy, games at 2:00 on a Thursday, people are just getting out of work when Pennsylvania, Kansas is going down to the wire. If you're talking about a game where people are freaking out, where I'm leaving work early to go to the bar to watch the finish of Penn, Kansas, it's very possible.
What time is that game?
It's a 2:00. 2:00 on.
I got 1:00. 1:00 Thursday.
The time zone thing's fucking me up. But still. Yes, you're right. 1:00. So still, the point remains. It could be the game where everyone's buzzing about it's close. That's just a low, low sleeper just for shits and gigs because why not, right? Yep.
East,
do you have who do we have coming? You have coming Michigan State going
Michigan
out.
State, yep.
I'm taking Duke out of that region myself. So. And then on the final to wrap up the East, who do I love? Who do you think?
Yeah.
Villanova.
Yep,
and it's hard not to, right? They have a great bracket. They're really good. They can beat you in so many different ways. Jalen Brunson is a stud as well as Mikal Bridges. Bridges, so many big shots in that overtime win against Providence. And I think
DiVincenzo's your Aaron Kraft.
Right. And I think you have to love what you've seen out of Villanova. They have a great draw. And I'm all for Villanova far.
This is my annual take West Virginia too far.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To the Sweet 16 they'll probably lose to Wichita.
You and me both, pal. Or Murray State. You and me both. I do We're two peas in a pod when it comes to West Virginia and Arizona.
Yep. Because West Virginia is they're so tempting because it's like they play the press. They have a ton of athleticism and length all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like watching an NBA team.
Right.
And they get beat.
Team you hate, it's only on a principle of Wichita State because I think it's so NCAA, and I mentioned this yesterday on Daily Tap, so I'm going to repeat myself. The fact that they got moved to the American and, oh, here you go, here's a four seed is so fucking funny to me because they've had better records and better teams, and they were eight seeds, and it's right. Like it's all a sham. Like it's just, it really is. Mm-hmm. And they can lose to Marshall. D'Antoni's brother coaches the team. I don't really know his name. I think his name is Bob. Bob D'Antoni coaches Marshall, and they play the up-tempo D'Antoni style.
Aren't they from West Virginia, the D'Antoni?
Yeah, they went to Marshall. So they both went to Marshall. So D'Antoni coaches the Thundering Herd, and they play, I guess, a very breakneck speed that could frustrate a Wichita State.
I've got Florida going to the Elite Eight.
Okay. So I don't hate that.
Because they made it there last year, right?
Right.
A lot of the same guys came back.
At the beginning of the year, I thought Florida was a top five team. I'm watching Florida early in the year. They have, if they're on, they're on. But unlike, kind of like Marquette in the sense that they just don't necessarily always are working from three. And if they are, if the threes aren't falling, they could be bounced. But that's reasonable with a Texas Tech team that has some experience. And then you have in that lower bracket, Butler, Purdue. Purdue every year you think is going to – Purdue could be in that hate category too as a team that you want to take far with all that size, but does it really translate into a tournament-winning team?
Well, I'll hit you with another cliche. It's all about guards.
Right. That's true.
In the tournament. So at least that's what they tell me.
And I know I mentioned Marshall.
Goes against what we said about Ayton to begin, but he's obviously –
Sure. He's a different guy.
Right.
And I know what I just said about Villanova.
This isn't Isaac
Haas. I know what I said about Marshall – But I have to be remiss if I didn't say I do want to see Colin Sexton play Villanova.
Yeah.
Because Colin Sexton is a stud and a half. He could carry a team like Alabama to the Sweet 16 and just kill everybody's brackets who have Villanova.
That's going to be a tough one for Nova, probably.
But they have to get through Virginia Tech first, and they play a very similar style. So would I be surprised if Colin Sexton's in the second week of the tournament? Not at all. I think he has that ability. But
there was this dude that was from a rival school in high school.
Yeah.
His name was Colin Sexton.
Oh.
He played baseball at Minnesota.
Oh.
So every time I hear Colin Sexton, that's just like
throws you off, huh? Just Schrodinger Sexton. I don't think
Richie Sexton.
Richie Sexton. I don't know. Nah. But shout out to Colin Sexton for making Alabama basketball is like a third or a minuscule relevant as their football team.
Talk about a great job, like those Georgias, those Alabamas, where to coach basketball there, where like you just have insane resources, but like nobody really cares.
Georgia just fired their coach after like 9 years of being like mediocre, and so now they're like, okay, it's enough is enough. Like Alabama's winning, so we have to. Do you think like
Kentucky gets a guy that does that for 2 years and he's done?
Do you think Tuscaloosa sports radio is talking about what position in football Colin Sexton would be? All right, we're taking your calls on Morning Drive. Morning Drive with Chubbs. You think Colin Sexton would be? Roll Tide.
Should he be a wide receiver?
I think. Hey, it's Bobby. I think Colin Sexton would make a great wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
So anybody I hate in this bracket?
Yeah, go ahead.
I do have Purdue in the Sweet 16 there, but they're kind of just, I can't have them going any further.
Well, they're about as cream cheese as it can get.
Plus your buddy, their coach,
Matt
Painter. I know you love to point that out, his shortcomings.
Yeah. Matt Painter pisses down his leg a little bit every now and again. He's definitely been known to do that, so.
I mean, is Florida the Elite Eight sleeper? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not sleeper, but it's definitely contrarian.
I got this one. I mean, Butler winning first round.
Yeah.
I could possibly have them winning
LaVell Jordan. Again. Do it.
But, yeah. Good call.
We both have Villanova coming out of that region. My Final Four as of today is Arizona, Michigan, Villanova, and Duke. And you have Cincinnati,
Gonzaga as of today,
Michigan State
and Villanova.
Both would be pretty solid Final Fours.
Man, probably gonna, I mean,
Cincinnati Gonzaga would be kind of brutal as a final.
I'm probably going to end up taking Villanova to win it all.
Yep.
Are they number one overall?
No, they're second.
Okay.
So, but that's, I mean, as we've talked about on these shows, you gotta go a little chalk. I think I'm gonna be curious how many people take Virginia to go to the Final Four. I mean, what do you think? Do you think more people are gonna kind of be our philosophy of kind of fuck Virginia, or are they gonna take Virginia to win it all? Virginia to get to the Final Four.
You'll get,
how contrarian do you think Virginia is as a Final Four and as a national championship?
I think they're polarizing as a one seed.
Absolutely.
I think it's that's a good question. I mean, in Wisconsin, again, you're probably you're probably gonna get a lot of people in your local brackets taking them pretty far.
Oh yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if it's 50% of your bracket.
Okay, all right.
But every year, that's what screws me is every year there's a one seed that wins it, but it comes from the other side of the bracket that I had. And it's,
yeah, exactly. You know, like Kansas wins it this year.
I just hope I make it out of the first weekend where I can be like,
I hope so too, buddy.
I have
a
reasonable chance here in Snowtown Madness.
Mitch deserves it, guys. Mitch has been at the bottom of the barrel every year.
It's like
just one time.
Like I said, I lose a Final Four team like in the first day, and it's just like I'm fucked.
It's a glorious experience on group chat though.
So hopefully
it is. So, yeah.
Well, honestly, hopefully I can stick around to Snowtap Madness.
Absolutely.
And everyone should sign up.
No, everyone should.
Like I said, all the smart and good-looking people are going to be in that.
No doubt about it.
In that group.
Sign up. If you're a bar owner or you know people who own bars and maybe you want to, I don't know, sponsor it. We have some talks going on, but it's not to say that someone couldn't slide in their DMs and make us an offer that we couldn't refuse. And
we'll try to make you some money.
We would definitely try to make you some money. We're all about you. The bar. So, all right. NFL free agency quick, because I sure we're way over.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think really it starts and ends with Kirk Cousins. I think everyone's sort of waiting for Kirk Cousins to sign. I don't know if Kirk Cousins has signed. I mean, it's a fluid situation. We're taping Tuesday night. He had the thing where he said goodbye to the Redskins and tagged, I guess,
the Jets and the Vikings.
The Jets and the Vikings in it. Who knows? Who knows how not much?
But isn't Arizona?
Arizona's in
considered
the mix. As well as the Vikings.
I saw something that his sister lives in Arizona, so it's
Yeah. Oh, so there's that.
Yeah.
I made the case on Daily Tap that I think he should sign with the Broncos because I think he had the level of competition in the AFC West is far less superior than what you have in the NFC North or the NFC West.
Yeah.
Or the AFC East.
Well, I mean, see, the Seahawks are going through some changes.
Right.
The Niners are bad.
Yeah. Well, are the Niners bad
or
the Niners bad?
They have Jimmy G, I guess. That's
the
true.
Niners are going to be everybody's sexy team, though.
Yeah, we will.
We'll love to take the under in that.
Pick your favorite magazine off the rack in August, and it's going to say the Niners are going 10-6.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know.
So we just palm that under.
Right. I mean, I don't. That's an interesting thought. Stinks for me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think the Raiders are. It was just kind of a weird year for them.
You have a coach who wants to go back to 1998.
Well, we'll see. And they also had to cut Sean Smith, who apparently stomped his ex-girlfriend or his sister's ex-boyfriend's head into the
pavement. Yeah, he's apparently going to do some jail time.
Yeah, they cut him, so he's probably, I guess he's looking at like a year.
Wow.
Perhaps. For a felony assault.
Yeah, don't curb stomp a sister's ex-boy. I mean, that's a protective older brother.
Yeah,
but
no kidding.
Should send that to my sister's boyfriend and be like, hey. So you know, just a thought.
Yeah.
No reason I'm sending this to you.
So, yeah, and the LA Chargers. I mean, you know, you're right. I think that's good. That's a good thought with Kirk Cousins. But I think whoever is getting him is going to get an above average quarterback, and I like Kirk Cousins.
Right, and I think it's been interesting to see all the different cuts and the moves made by the Browns. I don't know really what the Bills. I guess the Bills are going to get a quarterback, so they get rid of Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor gets sent to Cleveland. Then they trade their left tackle today to the Bengals.
Cordy Glenn.
And they flip him for the then now they have the 12th pick. And everyone's,
you think they're going for Baker?
I think so. I think that would make sense.
Baker in Buffalo scares me.
I would love that.
I need a That would be a match made in heaven, though.
Yes. It would. I need a team that I can cheer for Baker Mayfield, and Buffalo is one of them. Because I've always had a foot in Bills Mafia.
Is Baker Mayfield a partier?
Yeah.
Like he's known.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was just like cocky in the field. And
no,
all that,
he got arrested by the cops for like public e-tox.
Jesus.
And got tackled by some police officers.
So that worries me a little bit.
Well, right, because
just
yes,
with,
Buffalo,
just with the the culture.
Yes.
We'll say.
Yes. Bills Mafia would love a Baker Mayfield.
I think so.
And I think that he fits the mold of what they were running on that offense because of, you know, Baker Mayfield has a look, he kind of has a Tyrod Taylor look to him.
Yeah.
Undersized. And yeah, I think Buffalo is definitely making moves. I think it's really interesting to hear people shit on Sashi Brown of the Browns, saying like, oh, he still passed up on Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson. Well, this guy accumulated all these picks so John Dorsey could just make all the moves in the world. And now,
right.
And now they have a decent team that could win, I don't know, 6 to 8 games next year and build off of that and keep building and building. And who knows? Maybe they could get into the playoffs. The AFC is such a crapshoot. That's not like the NFC where you kind of know who's going to be there and who's not going to be there.
Do you think that they are going to go for quarterback early and Saquon Barkley one?
So I don't think they have to. So I think they should do.
I think they should take Barkley one.
I think they should take Barkley one, and I think they should try to trade up and see if they can get Bradley Chubb and have you have Bradley Chubb and Myles Garrett as your two bookends, or you go get Minka Fitzpatrick and stay at four and have Minka Fitzpatrick play, you know, your safety position with Jabril Peppers. Mm-hmm. They do have to get rid of Greg Williams though, because he's not a defensive coordinator in 2018 NFL.
Right.
But you know, that's for another time.
Kind of like Dom Capers, right?
Right, absolutely. He's Dom with a beard and a bounty gate. Okay. So next week, well, I'm sure we'll recap all the craziness that takes place on the NCAA tournament weekend.
Yep.
We'll get back to talking about the Bucks. Hopefully they get through this easy stretch. Don't lose to Memphis tonight, you assholes.
Brandon Jennings had a good first half.
I love it. Everyone's going to freak out and overreact. Like,
right.
How Bucks Twitter does it. And then we'll also talk whatever the Packers do. Who knows? Could be a crazy thing. Could be nothing. We'll get a pulse check of that as well. So join SnowTap Madness. Follow us on all the socials. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. Take care, guys. Have a good night.
Peace.
Later.